Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. And this is Christy Smythe. She lives in Somerville.
So this is our lovely urban oasis, a few blocks from Porter Square.
And in her backyard, in the most densely populated city in the United States, Christy Smythe keeps chickens, or as she calls them, the girls.
Wow. Hi, girls. Good morning.
Out they go, and there's a rush of chickens from the coop.
Smythe has been raising backyard chickens for the last 2 years. Her brood consists of beautiful heritage breeds, such as the Belgian bearded De Clay and the Chinese silky.
So, here we have silky chicken number two. Miss Wembley is she's called a splash is her color, so she's a mix of gray and white. So you can hear Wembley making her grumpy old lady sounds.
Now, before you consign Smythe to the ever-growing band of urban-bound back-to-the-landers, know that what she is doing is entirely legal in Somerville. Also consider that she is but one of, say, the 40,000-plus members of BackyardChickens.com, one of more than 15,000 people who regularly watch a Carlisle woman's backyard hen cam, and one of the 100,000 readers of Backyard Poultry magazine.
It's basically like having a big hamster that lives outside, or a rabbit. You make sure they have clean food and water. You make sure that their housing is appropriate and clean. You make sure everybody is healthy. And with these guys, you get breakfast out of it.
Treehugger.com, a site that monitors environmental trends, calls the popular embrace of backyard chickens a movement across North America.
A movement with all its attendant joys and conflicts, which has... And I have resisted the puns until now.
For which I've been very grateful.
But still, the movement has come home to roost in Greater Boston.
They've had a few issues in the past year where people have poultry and neighbors have complained. And there's been some legal action taken. But a lot of towns across the entire country, given that this is becoming so much more common, there are a lot of towns that are finding themselves faced with this need to update their zoning to say something specific about poultry.
Backyard chickens and the growing urban poultry movement, that's our talker today.
They have a lot to talk about, and it's something that a mother hen will do with the babies, is they're constantly making little sounds, usually not like that. That's more of the, oh my goodness, what's going on sound.
So listeners, do you raise urban chickens? Why? What benefit do you and your family get from it? And neighbors of urban chicken farmers, do you like it? Or does the sound, maybe the smell, the waste, and the potential predators worry you? And in our local food-conscious, money-conscious, eco-conscious era, are backyard chickens the perfect bird for the times? Or are they just a fad? Anyone here remember pot-bellied pigs? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. Well, joining us now in the studio is Audra Karp. She lives in Roslindale and wishes to raise chickens. Welcome to Radio Boston, Audra.
Thanks.
Also with us today from the studios of WVTF in Charlottesville, Virginia, is Pat Foreman. She's the author of City Chicks, Keeping Micro Flocks of Chickens as Garden Helpers, Compost Creators, Biorecyclers, and Local Food Suppliers. She has written about chickens and sustainable agriculture for the past two decades. Pat Foreman, welcome to you.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Well, Audra, let me start with you. So you live in Roslindale.
I do.
And just yesterday, you were at a Boston City Council meeting in order to fight for the right to have chickens in your yard?
It was actually a
zoning board
in front of the zoning board. Okay. And we had applied for a permit a year ago and got refused. And so we appealed the decision, and that was our big appeal date.
Okay, so you had chickens in your yard then?
Yeah, so actually in April of 2010, we had applied for the permit, and while we are waiting to hear whether we got, from what I understood, we were able to keep chickens legally with a permit. So I applied, and while waiting for the response, we purchased a coop, and then soon after bought one-day-old chicks.
Okay. So from what I understand, I have some notes on town laws in various places around Greater Boston. In Boston proper, in particular, it says all residential zones in the city of Boston forbid, quote, auxiliary keeping of animals, which includes poultry and other livestock. So your permit would have gotten you around that zoning problem.
Yeah, from what I read, it was, from what I understood, it was you could keep chickens with a permit.
Okay. So were you successful yesterday in front of the zoning board?
No, we were denied. But in some ways we were successful because, I think we were pretty prepared to be denied, and many people had said we would be denied and that this isn't a zoning issue. So we were prepared for that. But in a way we were successful as sort of, getting people excited around this issue.
Okay. So you had chickens, but do you still have them anymore?
We don't have the chickens. A year after we got the chickens, I came home one day to find a notice from Animal Control asking us to remove those chickens. And so they're not in our home anymore.
They went to someone else's home? Or?
Well, originally, we thought we could move them to somewhere else in the neighborhood. So we moved the coop first and went around a couple blocks, and actually on our, the coop was made of cedar, and it is a movable coop called the chicken tractor, but it was still rather heavy. And one of our neighbors asked us if he could help us, which we definitely said yes. And then we got to where we were going. We said, "What is this anyway?" And we were like, "It's a chicken coop." So we moved it to our friend's house, and where we could still go and visit the chickens. My daughter and was pretty excited about that. And we made dates to have omelets with them once a week.
Had you received, in the time that you did have the chickens, did you receive any complaints from neighbors of any kind?
No. As a matter of fact, even before, we had raised our chickens for 4 months because we bought them when they're a day old, and we raised them in a dog crate in our kitchen while they were babies. they grew up pretty fast, so by 4 months we were ready for them to go outside. But even before we moved them outside, one of our neighbors brought us a bale of hay.
A bale of hay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Audra, let me ask you. So Roslindale, granted, you've got Arnold Arboretum right there. So you do have, you know, a lot of big nature sort of kind of in your backyard. But nevertheless, it's still very urban.
It's very urban.
And so what made you decide in the first place that you wanted to be kind of an urban poultry farmer?
I mean, it's important to us, even though we live in the city, to know where our food comes from and to grow and raise our own food, and especially that my daughter knows where food comes from. And
okay, so the local food aspect was very important to you.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, let me turn to Pat Foreman here for just a moment. Again, she's author of City Chicks, Keeping Micro Flocks of Chickens as Garden Helpers, Compost Creators, Biorecyclers, and Local Food Suppliers. Pat Foreman, Audra's story, it sounds to me, is fairly representative of this sort of new wave of people who say, we want to have closer contact with the food that we put on our plate, you know, whether it's the greens that we grow in our garden or the eggs that we make for omelets. Is that sort of what you hear from people who buy your book and call you for poultry raising advice?
Yes, Meg, absolutely. It is a movement, and it has not crested yet. In fact, over the past 2 years alone, there have been over 500 towns and cities across the U.S. that have changed their laws to enable and even encourage residents to keep family flocks.
And some of them are quite big cities, San Francisco, Chicago.
Right. Mm-hmm. New York, they didn't have to change their laws. They were legal from the very get-go. So it's a movement. And, of course, the concern about healthy foods and local foods is certainly driving it. But there's also other factors that are often left out of the discussion because a lot of people have these beliefs and myths about how chickens are dirty farm animals. They're licey. They're stinky. And they're not that way unless you keep them that way, which is mainly some of the old-fashioned way of keeping chickens in stationary coops with stationary runs. But what's often left out of the discussion is that chickens can be biomass recyclers, which means they can help divert. They eat food scraps. They love people food. They're voracious carnivores.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can literally help divert food from the solid waste management stream and keep it in the backyard without even ever having to be picked up. And then you can combine their manure in with leaf and yard waste and create compost, which you can grow food in. So they're really part of a whole cycle that enables, it not only enables, it enhances a local food supply.
So, Pat, let me ask you, I mean, when we're talking about urban spaces, we heard from Audra, who lives in Roslindale. We got some tape a little earlier from Somerville, Massachusetts, which is incredibly densely populated.
I
don't even have a backyard myself. I live in a condo, so it's out of the question for me. But how much space are we talking about that we need, you know, if you want to have a small brood of chickens?
Well, it's not that much, surprisingly. And there are even people that are keeping chickens in their condos, Meg. So it's not something I think I'd want to do. But what's interesting is chickens require very little space. You can have, say, a family flock of 3 to 8. And in the movable pens, the way Audra was talking about, the chicken tractors, you can move them along at spaces of your yard and still give them fresh graze while at the same time fertilizing your yard because their manure is incredibly rich in nitrogen and has an NPK, that nitrogen, potassium, phosphorus, that is incredibly valuable fertilizer. So a very small yard. I know of flocks that are on Capitol Hill. Where they're not legal right now, but I know of two flocks.
Underground and, chickens on Capitol Hill.
Underground chickens in our nation's capital.
And
there was one.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but we have so many listeners who do want to join us, and they actually are bringing up a whole variety of questions, which are probably more thoughtful and articulate than I can ask, because it looks like we have a lot of chicken experts in the greater Boston area. So let's let's hear from some of them. Let's first go to Terry calling from Carlisle. Welcome to Radio Boston, Terry.
Hi, thanks for having me on. I have a couple dozen chickens. I'm a little bit further out of the city, but I keep my chickens very much like you would keep in an urban environment. If people want to see it, they can see them on a live streaming webcam, the hen cam that you mentioned earlier.
The hen cam is quite famous. I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of people check in on your chickens every day.
It is. It started as a whim. My husband's an MIT geek, and he put a camera in the coop, and it's sort of gone from there. And it's a good way for people to live vicariously. If you do live in a condo, you can watch my chickens and sort of take part in the fun. I think one of the things to mention is that people get chickens often because they want to have eggs, and then they fall in love with the birds, and they're funny, charming, delightful creatures. And I like to say that for very little brain, they have more charm per brain cell than just about anything else.
They are lovely little creatures. And Terry, let me ask you, since you have so much experience in this, as you said, many people get their chickens first because they want the eggs. But then after that, I mean, they have an animal that's living with them. It's the same thing as when a kid says, "I want a dog, I want a dog, I want a dog," and then doesn't realize having a dog is a lot of work. So what's all the additional work that it takes to care for these animals in your yard?
You know, it's more responsibility than work. It takes 5 minutes in the morning to make sure that they have food and water. It takes 5 minutes at night to lock them up in the coop to keep them safe from predators. A couple times a week, I go out and I rake the yard and I clean up the manure. And that's really all it takes. But what you're going to find is you're going to find that it's better than television, and you're going to be sitting out with your chickens and being entertained by them.
Terry, thank you so much for your call. And the hen cam, we've been watching it. It's fantastic. So thank you so much for calling Radio Boston today. Pat Foreman, so Terry makes it sound like it's quite straightforward and easy, but I wonder for the people who are living next door to chicken owners, one of the problems, if I understand correctly, is you can't tell what sex a chicken is for quite some time. And, you know, if you're living in the city and you get these mail order chicks, you might have a rooster on your hands, which is A, illegal in a lot of places in the greater Boston, and B, even if it's not, that could be a potential nuisance. So what to do then?
Well, that happens. Roosters just happen, and that is a problem. What often people will do is either find another home for them. They'll send them to a chicken ranch or someone that can have roosters. In my instance, we have the Natural Bridge Zoo, and they will always take extra birds, I guess, for their big cat foods. But the other thing you can do, of course, is send them to, because roosters do happen, you've raised them, probably put some pretty good feed in them, just have someone process them for you. Usually it's illegal to do any
processing
meaning, in the city.
Meaning you have to kill them.
Meaning you have a chicken dinner.
Okay.
Or coq au vin, I think that's called in the French.
If it's an old tough one, yes.
But you can get attached to them. They're very amicable. I have two roosters, and they're wonderful. I mean, they're gentlemen. They take care of the hens. They watch out. So they do have their place, but their place, I think, is not really within the cities unless they have a special permit.
Audra Karp, you're shaking your head. Did you have a rooster?
No, we didn't. Okay. I just agree with Terry that roosters definitely don't belong in the city.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. We've got some other callers. We've got some tweets, sorry. Stefan is tweeting, I raised chickens when I was younger and loved them. Now my neighbors raise chickens and have too many in a small place. So stinky. I mean, Pat Foreman, is that a problem? Because they produce waste. They are animals.
Yes. You don't want to crowd them. I mean, crowding chickens, like any animal, just leads to problems. They'll be pecking each other. Certainly the manure, if it's not distributed properly, can be managed properly, can be a nuisance rather than an asset.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a tendency for people to say, well, I love my chickens. But there's another little different breed. Add it to the flock. But you don't want to crowd any animal. That's just not right animal husbandry.
Okay, so let's take another call. This one from Ipswich. David is on the line. You're on the air, David.
Hello. I've been raising chickens for quite a while now. I started out with the miracle of growth experiment from the local kindergarten. I ended up with the chickens from that. But I wanted to talk about the rooster issue. Although I live in Ipswich and space isn't such a problem, we still had problems with the neighbors because of our rooster. One of the chickens did grow up to be a rooster, and we tried to keep it for quite a while, but then it also became very aggressive, and it started attacking us. So it was difficult to take care of the hen we kept for the eggs, of course. So we ended up having to do the processing solution to the rooster. So even in where we live, which is relatively rural, the rooster can be a problem.
David, have you also had problems with those creatures which would prey on a brood of chickens?
Oh, yes. We've lost chickens because we've gone through more than the original chickens we've had in a number of years. But we've lost chickens to coyotes. We've lost them to dogs. We've lost them to hawks. We've lost them to fisher cats. So we get just about any kind of predator short of a mountain lion or a bear that you get in New England. We've lost chickens to them.
David, thank you so much for your call. I want to pick up your point there because I think this is actually one of the more interesting ones because we've done shows on Radio Boston, Pat Foreman, where urban areas are starting to see sort of a return of wild animals. I mean, in the greater Boston area, we have obviously fox sightings. We've got the occasional coyote and things like that. So, I mean, that has to be a growing concern for people who then are having chickens, which serve as a meal for these potential predators. How would you protect against that?
Yeah. Well, Meghna, that is a problem, and it's always brought up. But the fact is that the predators or the rodents, they're going to be there whether you have chickens or not. And wild bird feeders, pet food, gardens, fish ponds, bird baths, trash that's waiting to be collected, all these will attract raccoons or animals that you don't necessarily like. The thing about with chickens is there are ways to keep them that minimize that. For example, I have a perimeter fence that's secure. Keeping the coop, building it up 12 to 18 inches doesn't allow rodents to burrow underneath. And, of course, nighttime predators, you have to have your coop predator safe at night, and they will go back themselves. They'll put themselves up because they're night blind. If they don't get in that coop, they're pretty much dead. So they have very, very great incentive to put themselves up at night. Mm-hmm. So the predators are there anyway. They're coming in because of other reasons, not just the chickens. And there are ways to manage the chickens so that they can be a little more predator-proof. But the truth is, there's always something that will love your chicken as much as you if it gets a chance.
Well, Michael Floriak tweets, "Our Cambridge neighbors have a coop, love seeing chickens in the yard and getting occasional eggs, but glad we don't have any." Let's take a call from Upton, where Laura is on the air. Welcome to Radio Boston, Lauren.
Hi. Yeah, I've got a backyard flock of five hens who I love dearly. And you were just talking about predator-proofing, I've built a Fort Knox for my girls because I love them way too much to ever let anything happen to them. And that could become a problem in the city. You know, people don't know that a little chicken wire isn't going to protect your bird from a raccoon. It takes research and planning to keep your chickens safe.
Lauren, thank you so much for your call. Audra Karp, I want to return to this question of what's motivating people to have to welcome chickens into their homes in the city. For you, you said you wanted to the local food connection was very important. Was there more than that, or was it just that you wanted to be sure your children knew that eggs didn't come from inside a paper container?
Yeah, it's all part of that. It's also a certain amount of satisfaction. Sort of like when we start seeds in the spring and watching them sprout, you get the certain satisfaction. I remember the first time that our chickens started laying their eggs. They start laying about 6 months old, and so we would check every day. And then one day we finally saw the egg, and we were wondering which chicken had laid the egg. And there was one chicken who came out of the coop and strutted up her feathers. So we figured it was her. Seemed pretty proud. So it's a sort of satisfaction of getting your own food. And it was exciting too for my daughter.
Mm-hmm. Pat Foreman. So in my reading about this today, I found that you can get chicks through mail order. There's all sorts of designer coops out there. There's a huge community of people set up ready to help you get started in backyard chicken farming. It made me wonder whether it's getting to the point where it's too easy. And there are a lot of people who are starting to do this who may not be up for the task. I mean, I've read that animal shelters are getting chickens dropped off at their doorstep. And B, whether or not this is really a fad, and that chickens too will sort of fade from people's consciousness the way that, as I mentioned at the top, pot-bellied pigs did.
Right. It may be a fad. Time will certainly tell that. One of the things about animal shelters getting chickens dropped off is there are so many ways that you can find homes for chickens. We have the Shenandoah Valley Poultry and Garden Club. It's the first club in the world, as far as we know, that combines poultry with gardening, and the two really go hand in hand. And our club members will do a rescue anytime, and we've told the animal shelter that, and we've rescued quite a few. So there are other outlets for handling unwanted chickens. And the other thing is, people that aren't really serious about it, or they get tired of it, the same laws are on the books to control the abuse or neglect of dogs or cats. Mm-hmm. So that's already taken care of, and there will be some people that just can't really properly take care of their chickens, but it won't go on for very long until the neighbors report it.
Well, I just go ahead. No, go ahead, please.
Well, the other thing is that's really happening, Megna, is pretty neat, and that is the learning curve about how to keep family flocks is pretty much straight up. It's going exponential about people regaining, in a way, from two to three generations ago, how to keep chickens and how to do it very responsibly. And as was discussed, chickens are far easier to keep than dogs, and about the same as cats. You can even go on a vacation, have an automatic water. You can have wall feeders where they've got plenty of food, and they just don't take hardly any time at all. What happens is as they talked about earlier too, is you end up spending time with them just because they're so entertaining, and they do make you laugh, and there's a calming effect that comes with chickens too.
Well, there must be something said for that positive effect that any animal has on our lives. Before we wrap up, I just wanted to read a little bit from other laws around in Massachusetts towns about chicken ownership. In Belmont, apparently you can have up to 5 hens in any inspected coop. Cambridge, nowhere are chickens mentioned in the city codes, but the city comments that as long as chickens are pets, there's nothing to enforce or not enforce. But if you happen to live in Lynn, you have to go to all your neighbors and have them sign a petition stating that they would not have any problems with you having the hens. Any complaints, and you are subject to a fine of $1,000 per day about your chickens. So a whole variety of rules, as is per usual in Massachusetts towns. Pat Foreman, author of City Chicks, Keeping Micro Flocks of Chickens as Garden Helpers, Compost Creators, Biorecyclers, and Local Food Suppliers, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you so much. And as we say, may the flock be with you.
And Audra Karp, Roslindale resident and former mother of a small brood of chickens. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Magna.
Well, there's more information about raising chickens in the city on our website, radioboston.org. Coming up after the break.
Look, I like cupcakes too.
And so do I. But Boston schools, maybe not so much. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.
There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. You're stomping around, shaking the ground. You're kicking up an awful dust. We chickens trying to sleep, and you butt in. And hobble, 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 it's a sin. Tomorrow is a busy day.